Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Good morning. Welcome to First United Methodist Church of Brighton and Whitmore Lake, the church where we are always seeking to know God, love God, serve God. Let's sit in silence. We will be with you. Oh, here, I'll be with you shortly. Get that joke? Someone introduced me that way when I was speaking before 500 people. They said, and Lynn will be with us shortly. They all laughed even before they saw me. Well, why don't we take a minute while we're waiting, and we're going to be talking about our vision for the church. So I invite you to turn to somebody and talk a little bit about what you like about this space. Just do that for a minute, and by then maybe we'll be able to hear something in this space. I am Pastor Lynn, your short associate pastor. And our worship leaders today are Sue Urban and Carol Kapuska, and we are whistling. To complete the connection cards, we invite you to fill out a prayer request card and put it in the offering plate. And also put your connection cards there. I do have a few announcements today. By the way, thank you so much for your patience. You did a good job. Someone said it was like the old days when we would have that time of, you know, going around and shaking hands with each other and greeting time. So we got to have an impromptu. Maybe God felt like we needed to greet each other today, right? All right, so I do have a few announcements. You know, with the new year, it's a great time to begin new classes, and we have a whole bunch of new things and a lot of continuing things. You need to go on our website. If you haven't looked at it lately, you should go and look. There are a lot of good things, and you can sign up for them, but I want to give you a few examples. One is a disciple class that Deacon Loretta is leading. It's filling up rapidly, but we may even need to start a second one because it's a place where you can go deeper into the Bible. You can, like, feel more confident that you know when they do a reading from Chronicles, you'll know, you know, what on earth it's, what is that book? Another example is there's a brand new prayer class being led by a spiritual director who's new to our congregation. His name is Rick Rakowski. I've talked with him. I think if you're interested in finding some new prayer techniques, then that would be a good one. He's calling it Praying with Your Heart, Mind, Soul, and Strength. It's going to be on Thursdays in February. So now, there's another new prayer class, and that's the one that's up there, and that's called the Prayer Workshop, and that's on Wednesday. So you got it straight. There's a Wednesday group and a Thursday group. What's the difference? The difference is the Wednesday group that I'm leading is specifically focused for people who are dealing with cancer or other kinds of health concerns. If you've got any of those things in your life, this is the group for you. We're going to meet on this Wednesday at 10:30 in the library for a sort of a first introduction to the group. So if you're like not sure whether you'd like to do it or not, you can come to this one and get a taste of it, and then you can decide if you want to go on, because the actual group won't start until February 12th. So this is kind of a try it out opportunity, and I really do invite you, let me know if you're coming so I can have enough stuff, but it's fine. Just come and check it out. It's with me and Kathy Stahl and Vicki Dutcher, and we are just really hoping that you'll discover some interesting ways to find strength, to find hope, and to find peace with whatever you're dealing with. All right, and then the third thing that I wanted to let you know about is January is the month that we bring in socks. All month long, you can bring in socks of all sizes for persons of all ages. We don't want anybody to be out there in this weather with cold feet, do we? So when you walk through that snow, think, oh, need to go get some nice socks. And now we've already sung the opening hymn, so I'm going to invite Sue Urban to come and lead us in our opening prayer.
Please join me in the opening prayer. Lord of all, we gather in your name to worship. We pray for your guidance as our church moves forward into a new year with a new vision and new dreams. We pray for strength as we find ways to bring your kingdom of love and peace to our world. Amen.
Thank you.
hear the word of the Lord from 1 Chronicles. King David said to the whole assembly, "My son Solomon, whom alone God has chosen, is young and inexperienced, and the work is great, for the temple will not be for mortals, but for the Lord God. So I have provided for the house of my God, so far as I was able, the gold for the things of gold, the silver for the things of silver, and the bronze for the things of bronze, the iron for the things of iron, and wood for the things of wood, besides great quantities of onyx and stones for setting, antimony, colored stones, all sorts of precious stones, and marble in abundance. Moreover, in addition to all that I have provided for the holy house, I have a treasure of my own of gold and silver. And because of my devotion to the house of my God, I give it to the house of my God. 3,000 talents of gold, of the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver, for overlaying the walls of the house, and for all the work to be done by artisans, gold for the things of gold, and silver for the things of silver. Who then will offer willingly, consecrating themselves today to the Lord?" This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Thanks so much.
I'll take my hymnal.
Go for it. Let us, will you join me now in a time of prayer? Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be measured and found acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, and the one who calls us to share in our gifts so that your vision could come to fruition. Amen. Amen. Well, it's so good to be with you this morning. I will try to project as loud as I can, so you can just wave in the back if you can hear me. I promise, as we talk a little bit this morning about our strategic plan, that this was unplanned to have some sound issues this morning. This wasn't like some sort of, trick to let people know that we have an opportunity before us. But as we gather this morning, I just want to say a huge thank you to Reverend Tanya Arnenson, who was here to preach last week so that Pastor Lindsay and I could be away. We really enjoyed our time away. We were able to go out to Nebraska to see her family, and then we continued on all the way to Colorado, and we spent 44 hours together as a family inside our Chrysler Pacifica minivan. I am very grateful, unlike what I said on Christmas Eve about engineers, developing new things for new model years of vehicles. I am very grateful for whosever idea it was to put two parallel screens in the back of the Chrysler Pacifica minivan, because those 44 hours went so much more smoothly for us and our kids than it went for me and my siblings and my parents when we used to make drives like that in my childhood. Nevertheless, this last week coming back, it's been really special to me for a couple of reasons. On Thursday, we had actually an individual who works at the United Methodist Foundation come to the church, whose name is Reverend Jeff Regan, and he was the first senior pastor that I had when I first went into ministry. And he's now working for the United Methodist Foundation, which is an organization that helps nurture generosity within churches. And he came and talked to us about this vision that we have as a church to continue to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world right here in our own community. As we gathered this last August, there were folks from across the church who had worked to submit little pieces of feedback about where they hope that our church goes into the future, and we compiled all of those things. There was a small task force that sat down and was asking the question, what is it that God is calling us to do in our church and in our community today? And we distilled all of the feedback from about 75 different households into kind of a strategic plan. Six ideas that we hope would help us live into the future that we have together as a church. And throughout the next 3 weeks, you're going to be hearing about those three. Throughout the next 3 weeks, you'll be hearing about those six initiatives. And today I'm going to be talking about three and four. Three and four, the third goal is to modernize our facilities and address building needs across our campuses. And four is develop a vision for being a church in more than one location. Those were two of the six priorities that were sort of lifted up amongst all of us as we provided feedback about where we feel God's calling us to be in the world. Now, on the face value, I have to say, probably those aren't the two most exciting or enticing parts of our vision together as the church, but there are certain mornings when you show up for worship, and we get ready to do the opening welcome and announcements, and suddenly the microphones and the speakers don't work, and you find yourself shouting, you know, like I'm a high school quarterback again, calling out the plays here in worship. There are a couple of things across our facilities that we've looked at, and we've started asking the questions, if we invested some resources in these things, could we do some of the ministries that we feel called to do just a little bit better? There are ideas that have been shared with us about building an elementary school age playground that's ADA accessible so that every single child in our community could drive by our church, see a playground, and somewhat obnoxiously and somewhat joyously, "Mom, Dad, can we stop there and go to the playground?" Wouldn't it be neat to be known as the church where, you know, you almost can't drive by on the way back to Brighton High School without wanting to stop for just a moment to go play on the playground and enjoy some time together? Our preschool playground is phenomenal, but quite frankly, for folks who are in elementary school, it doesn't necessarily speak to folks who want to climb up some stairs and go down on the slide, and we keep having this issue that I get increasingly concerned about. It's a joyful issue of right after church, the kids all flock out from Sunday school. They love hitting up our hospitality table. They love eating. My son says he comes to church just for the snacks, which I appreciate. And then they run around inside the community room, which makes a joyful sound for all of us. And some of us parents pray to God that our kids don't knock over any of our octa or nonagenarians. Can anybody in this house of God relate to me this morning? In addition to that, we've sort of dreamed about what it might look like if we were to invest some resources into the sanctuary. Some folks in our community have grown increasingly reliant upon hearing aids to be able to hear fully all of the things that are going on in the church, and we've dreamed about putting in what's called a T-cell loop so that people can use their hearing aids to immediately tap into the service. We've talked about replacing all of the lights inside the sanctuary with LED lights to save money on energy, but also so we don't have to replace the bulbs every 6 weeks or whatever it is that people have to climb up into the catwalk and replace them. We've dreamed about doing a variety of things. In fact, as we came together and started imagining what the future might look like, about 22 different projects emerged. Some of them are ultra pragmatic about replacing the HVAC system or resurfacing the parking lot outside the church. But throughout the course of it all, we tried to couch all of these projects in such a way that we could dream about a future of ministry so that more people could come into this building and experience some sort of connection with God's grace and grow in their relationship with one another to be transformed so that they could become more mature disciples of Jesus Christ. That was the dream. If you walk carefully around this building, you might notice that there are millions of hooks that we have used to hang lights. If you look up here, there are holes where many of those things have been drilled into the wall. And all of those hooks served a purpose in their day, but we sort of thought, maybe it's time to repaint some of the spaces of the sanctuary and cover up some of the signs and scars that our building has all throughout its facility from ministry that took place in its proper time but is no longer taking place in this time. Pastor Lynn asked you to take a moment and look up and see what it is that you appreciate about this space. I have to tell you, every time I walk into the sanctuary, and often during the week I come in here by myself, and there's something magical about going into the electrical room on your way in the church and flicking the lights on and watching as the lights in this room sort of slowly fade on. Even when this room is empty, there's something deeply holy about it. When I've given tours to people who have come to our church for the very first time, oftentimes when they walk into this space, immediately they find themselves saying, "This is nice. This church has done a phenomenal job of caring for itself over the years, investing over and over again in things that just pragmatically speaking needed to be done so that we could continue to do the ministry that we feel God is calling us to do." And over the course of the last 12 years in particular, we've had an awareness that probably at some point the parking lot would have to be repaved, and at some point we would have to live into this reality that the Freon gas that is being used to operate our HVAC system is no longer going to be legal in 2029. Unfortunately, it's one of the greenhouse gases that has an incredibly adverse effect on the environment. I recognize that it's probably not fun to hear a sermon about some of these nuts and bolts kinds of things. Part of it is what relates to this moment in David's ministry as the king of Israel so many thousands of years ago, when he recognized that there was a moment that was sort of right before him. It wasn't his to build the temple, but he recognized that it was coming in the near future. He had this vision that at some point it was going to be right, especially for Solomon, the next in the line of the Davidic order of kings. There was going to be a moment where God was calling upon God's people to invest to build the kingdom of God right here on earth as it is in heaven. And David recognized that it wasn't going to be him who was going to be building the temple. It wasn't going to be him that was responsible for its full construction, but it didn't mean that he couldn't be involved in that construction. I wonder if we're at such a moment as we speak right now, where we look at some of the physical spaces and we recognize it might not necessarily be our kids who are out there playing on the playground, or it might not necessarily be us at this phase of life that's looking to plug into a sanctuary worship service using a hearing aid at this particular moment in our life, but maybe the person sitting next to us would benefit greatly from being able to trust that their children were safe at a playground instead of knocking over somebody who's been coming to this church for nearly a century. Maybe it's not necessarily us that needs to use an ADA compliant, handicap accessible bathroom, but maybe the person next to us has been struggling to stand up from using the toilet seat after many years of being able to do it completely independently. You may have noticed some small things that we're doing, and I hesitate to mention this in case you haven't noticed it, but we pulled an entire pew out of the sanctuary right before Christmas because we have an increasing number of folks who come to our church using walkers and wheelchairs, and we celebrate that. We wanted to make sure there was a space in our sanctuary for everybody. I don't care if you're 3 years old and you spend most of your time back in what we call the family room, which is a beautiful provision, having just come out of that phase of life where you don't know if your children will be completely dialed into the message or if they might be making paper airplanes to throw at the pastor who's preaching the message. That room is a gift to this church. The forethought that went into designing this sanctuary was brilliant. Why? Because I think it created a space where everybody felt welcome. There was a space for wheelchairs. There was a space for kids. There was a space behind glass doors where people could sing and dance and get all of their wiggles and giggles out. And we don't have to hear all of that. I have to be honest, though. I love hearing the sound of kids in worship. To me, it's a sign that we have a future. And that's what David was thinking too. When he began gathering up his resources, you heard when Sue read the scriptures, he started gathering up his gold and his silver and his iron and his wood and his stones. And he said, "All of this, Solomon, you take it and you build whatever you feel called to build. You construct the temple. You create something, a space where God could reside right here on earth." In the month of May, you'll hear plenty more about some of the things that we hope to be able to do as a church, some of these projects, but I want to let you know this. I am so grateful for the spiritual leaders who have been appointed to this church long before Pastor Lindsay and I ever got here. Sherry and Bob, our predecessors, many, many years ago, over a decade ago,
decided to create a fund, a reserve financial fund, so that we, when the day was right, would have the resources to be able to take on some of these projects. I don't know if you remember this, but a little over a month ago, I was preaching in this sanctuary, and there were hammer sounds on the roof as they were fixing one of the holes that had come about as the result of completely replacing the roof. I now can say this because it snowed and rained and sleeted and ice stormed a couple of times, and we haven't had any water in the sanctuary, that I am incredibly grateful for Ferguson Roofing Company, who basically replaced our entire roof for just the cost of materials, giving us an incredible deal that I almost hesitate to share in front of all of you, because many of you probably paid more to have your own home's roofs replaced than we paid to have the entire roof of the sanctuary done. Most of the projects that we have in mind when we think about our strategic plan part three are small projects. If you sit at this church for any period of time, you'll recognize that one of the things that this church is known for is that we have three accessible dumpsters in our parking lot. If you watch throughout the windows, you'll see throughout the course of the week people bringing chairs and couches and cardboard boxes that we recycle, which is awesome. But driving by our church, there are a little bit of an unsightly look to look across our parking lot and see three dumpsters. And if you're OCD, you'll recognize they don't necessarily always line up quite properly. And we kind of envision putting a small enclosure around that space, not to deter people from continuing to use this space as a space to get rid of some of their most prized possessions, but at least presenting to a community a space that's more organized, beautiful, and maybe you won't be able to recognize when the dumpsters aren't dropped in quite a perfect line. The second point I wanted to talk about today is a part of a strategic plan that I see as highly aspirational. In 2018, two congregations voted to become a part of the same church, First United Methodist Church of Brighton and Wesley United Methodist Church. And over the last 6.5 years, we've worked faithfully and tirelessly to try to unite two campuses with two different identities to become a church that worships in more than one location. As we've lived into that vision, it's been exciting to gather together as a church. We've had worship services where people from Whitmore Lake have come here, and we've had services down by the lake where people from Brighton have gone down there. We've celebrated picnics. We've sung together. We've eaten hot dogs together. We have had wonderful experiences together as a church. And I have to tell you, when I go to other places where United Methodists have gathered over the last couple of years, there have been folks who have talked about their churches suffering and struggling and having a hard time coming up with the resources to fund their ministries, and we are not in that situation at all. Over the last couple of years, giving has gone up, worship attendance has gone up, more and more people have decided to make this church their spiritual home, and frankly, Livingston County and Northern Washtenaw County are both just growing. People are building houses in our community, and we feel like we're at the cusp, on the precipice of a really exciting time of ministry in both of our campuses. And even in the midst of that growth, we look around and we see a couple of United Methodist churches right here in our own backyard that are struggling to pay their bills, that are struggling to keep themselves viable. When I looked at this part of the strategic plan, what I recognized is that we are in a position to continue to support United Methodist congregations right here in our own backyard. Maybe there are churches right down the road from us who might benefit from some sort of relationship with us as a church. I don't know what that would look like. I don't know what the future might hold, but I know this. The folks at Whitmore Lake recognize that 150 years ago, a family donated a plot of land right there lakeside, which is one of the most beautiful places that a church could be constructed in literally the entire state of Michigan. And they said, this is a space that we would like to donate to the church so that it could be used for ministry. And I wonder if they had any idea that 150 years later, United Methodists would still be meeting in that location to worship God. And I honor that legacy of generosity and giving, and I'm so grateful that that church didn't just close. They didn't shutter their doors. As we speak right now, Pastor Lindsay's down there preaching to the folks at Whitmore Lake 150 years after somebody's extravagant generosity to dedicate that land to God's use as a church. And I think about the fact that somebody else probably donated land for you know, any of the other churches, Pinckney Arise in our community, or Howell First United Methodist Church. And I find myself thinking that we have a responsibility as a church that meets in more than one location to continue to develop this multi-site image of being a church. How do we work to build relationships with our friends at Whitmore Lake? Some of you may have been here last fall when we got together and had a one worship service, and then we had a catered meal that was provided to us by Haley's Kitchen, and I, for one, ate meatballs for the rest of the week because I thought those were pretty good. But more importantly than that, I love sitting at a table where there were folks from Brighton and Whitmore Lake who sat down together and shared stories about being faithful in God's people. If you're wondering where this church is headed over the next couple of years, I want to just briefly tease out the rest of these goals because you're going to hear about them in the next 2 weeks, and then I promise we'll get on to other things. But first and foremost, we want to be a church where people are growing in their relationship with Jesus Christ. We are committed to helping people mature as disciples, and we're in the midst, Pastor Lindsay's preaching about it right now, of developing a discipleship pathway to help people grow in their faith. Forgive this baseball story. Art, you'll appreciate this, so this is for you. But when Scott Boras took over as the general manager of the Detroit Tigers, he was asked, "What is your number one goal?" And he said, "My number one goal is to be a place where players come to get better." That was it. At first, I was kind of upset with him about it. I was like, "Are we not winning championships, man?" But then I thought about it, and I think it relates here. Perhaps our number one goal is just to be a place where disciples of Jesus Christ come to get better. And that's a big part of the strategic goal, number one. Number two is developing a sustainable and supported youth and children's ministry with increased resources and support. We're excited about that. You'll hear more about those two goals next week. A place where children and youth come and grow in their faith as well. Number five is a goal that we're trying to increase our resources and support and programming for seniors so that everybody from all ages can come and grow in their faith. And our sixth goal is to become a church without walls, focusing on inclusivity and accessibility for all. And you've already heard about some of the ways that we're trying to make our building more accessible so everybody can come to worship. I hope that this is a compelling vision for all of you. Maybe there's just one small part of it that speaks to you. Maybe there are several parts about it that you're like, "I couldn't care less about that." But our hope is that this is broad enough that everybody can find some place so that, you know, we can all be rowing our part of the boat. I'm super curious about what would happen in our community if we all found some way to be a part of the mission that God is calling us to in this world. It'd be exciting to watch such a vision unfold. King David knew what his part was. Some of you might feel called to give your time. Others of you might feel called to gather up your resources and find some way of supporting what is in store for us as a church. Others of you have unique sets of skills and abilities that can help us accomplish these missions. Others of you are super plugged in, and we're not asking anything more from you than what you're already doing. But I'm excited about the next couple of years of ministry that we have before us. If you have any questions about where we feel called to go, please come find us. You can talk to any member of our leadership board or any member of the pastoral staff. You're welcome to ask questions at any point, but our hope is that in a couple of years, we're able to look back on this season of ministry at the church and be grateful for the faithful seeds that have been sowed throughout the course of these last couple of years, because in some period of time, they're going to bear fruit. At some point, I believe way down in the future, there will be a Sunday morning where there's a sound issue and everyone's sitting in the sanctuary and the pastor, who's not named Lynn or John or Lindsay, gets up and says, take a moment and look around you. What do you appreciate about this space? And maybe no one will know who the person is that installed the T-cell loop that goes around the sanctuary so people can listen in on their hearing aids. Maybe nobody will know who the person was who was responsible for replacing the lighting with new LED lights. Maybe nobody will know the story about how new microphones came into the sanctuary, or, God forbid, we replace our amplifiers so that we don't have to shout. Whatever the case may be, it will be the result of faithful United Methodists that, just like King David long ago, prepared a space for faithful people to worship long into the future. Thanks be to God for moments like this, where we have an opportunity to build a kingdom here on earth into the future as it is in the present. Amen.
Of the Lord. So I have to tell you that when I saw what today's sermon was on to kind of cater my prayer to that, and I saw it was on vision, and then I read through the chapter of what was going to be covered on the chapter of the Bible, I thought, I have absolutely no clue what Pastor John is going to talk about, but I do appreciate a vision. And so my goal today for you in my prayer is for you to envision, send out a vision for yourself about what you would like to happen as a result of your prayer. And I say that because I have a specific example of how a vision can make things happen. So I go to physical therapy, and I go, one, because I blew my knee out, but two, because I had balance issues. And so one of the things that I have found tricky, especially during this time of the year, is when there is ice and snow. Some of you may kind of feel that way too, is that I literally get to the end of my covered sidewalk, to the point of the sidewalk that is uncovered, and my body just literally stops because there's snow or ice or anything. And I think I have a vision of me literally slipping and falling and doing what I did before to my knee or some other injury. And my body literally says it will not go any further. So in my physical therapy, they are doing, at times, slip and trip training. That involves literally me getting into a parachute harness and hanging from a machine, not literally hanging, but it will catch me if I fall. And my physical therapist putting some contraption of a slippery tablecloth, bedsheet combination under my feet and literally yanking on it and trying to make me fall. And when I and not telling me when it's going to happen, how long it's, you know, how hard it's going to be. So I hang there ready to fall. So I told her on Friday, because it's been a couple of times I did this, on Friday as she was getting ready to do it, I told her that I might not be getting any better at my reflexes to catch myself, but I am getting better at the vision of myself, knowing that I'm practicing this and envisioning myself walking across the ice and being able to catch myself, and I think that is what makes it better. I think the idea of me seeing myself literally smoothly sailing to my vehicle is what makes it even better than the actual yanking of the sheet off under me. It's a horrible experience, let me tell you. So, in your prayer today, send out a vision of what you would like to happen, and it shall happen. Let us pray. Dear Lord, in this cold and cloudy month of January, we pray for hope. Those uplifting reminders of the power of hope and how it is all tied to you. When we would rather hunker into the warm blankets of our bed and isolate ourselves. When we feel hopeless and depressed as that the sun will never warm our bones again, we pray for your light, your warmth, your glow to urge us out into our community of supports. And we thank you for bringing us here today to worship in this congregation. We praise you and give you glory. We praise your name for all the blessings in our life, our family and friends, our colleagues, strangers that we meet and share their stories. You show your lessons to us through them, and we thank you for the music that you bring into our lives, that we can sing that praise to you. But in all of our joy and toe-tapping and thankfulness, there are sorrows. There are things we ask of you, Lord, that we need help with. And it may be help for us in our own lives, things that weigh heavily on our hearts and minds, stresses of the week that seem overwhelming. But we also ask for help for others, help for those that are in need because they're suffering emotionally. We send out a vision to them for help in dealing with their sickness, help those leaders that are making difficult decisions, help for those that are picking up the pieces after a disaster, those that may not know where their shelter or meals are coming from. We bring calm and peace. We send those visions of those prayers for the recipients of this week's prayer quilts, Chrissy, Peg, and Mike, that they may feel the healing coming from this congregation as we say prayers and tie knots in the quilts and send those to them. We also specifically today send comfort and peace and help for those in California dealing with the fires, that the winds will ease, that the firefighters will stay safe and strong, and that those losing their property will find help and hope and stay safe. We ask that you provide for them in these times and use us at your will for these purposes. On a personal level, we may ask today in our prayers for forgiveness. Please hear our prayers for your understanding in those times when our ears have been deaf to the calls of others or our eyes have been blind to the needs of those around us. And we ask for a gentle shove out of those times when we are self-serving and opposed to serving others. When we're called upon, even in the smallest way, may we answer your call and respond to you calling our name with grace and a purpose to spread your praises through the words, but most of all, actions. That we don't pause to question your call, but move forward with confidence and a vision toward what you call us to do. Thank you for moving in our hearts, and we give ourselves to you, knowing that your moving in our hearts means that we no longer need to worry about having enough for ourselves, but we can give freely and not hold back because we have become a part of a community that gives and gets when needed. So let us take a moment to send up our personal vision in a prayer of what we would like to see from you. All right. Did you send out that vision? Did you pray for what you would like to see? Now let's send out our voices in a prayer as we say those words together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
In the hallway near my office, there are pictures of the two previous churches that this church lived in before this one was built. And you know, I stop and I look at those every once in a while and imagine who was in there. And it occurs to me that those people are the ones who we have to thank for their wisdom and for the gifts that they shared. We want to be sure that this building that we hand forward to some next generation will be able to serve as a church home and as a launching pad for continued ministries in our community and our world. As the ushers are passing among us, we can help with that.
Thank you.
Lord, bless the offerings we bring to support the work of your church. Guide us in using them to fulfill the vision, mission, and ministry of this community of God. We pray in your holy name. Amen.
Amen. And we're thankful for hymnals, and we're thankful. That was a pop quiz, and you all did great. So as you go out into this world, I just want to share with you, I got a phone call from somebody just about a week ago who was currently living in a hotel in our community. They were homeless. The sock drive that we're doing as a church will probably help them and their family. They called us, and I said, are you familiar with where our church is located? And he said, you're the church with the cross and flame on the front, right? And I was like, you knew it. We're that church. And I found myself reflecting after that, that cross and flame is kind of a minor part of our building, but it stands out to the community. The space is marked by the faithfulness of people who made this space what it is. Other people have said, that's the church where I've gone to meetings throughout the course of my life to get myself clean and sober. Other people have said, I know somebody buried in the memorial garden that's outside your church. Other people have said, yes, I've dropped my cardboard there before. Or you have a great rummage sale. Or I've given you all of my scrap metal. This church is known for many things. I know you because you are a faithful bunch of committed disciples of Jesus who are looking to transform the world. So let's go out and be that. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, let us go loving and serving the Lord. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.